Good. The Gemara had said, we got to make sure that the Gemara is going to give several answers, but we can't appreciate the answers unless we remember what question the Gemara is trying to answer. So let's look back at the question of the Gemara, and then we'll understand it. When we get to the end, a little bit in the answers also, again, we have yet to figure out why exactly. We know the details of what the scenario is, so for the most part, I think we've gotten some clarity on that. Why it is that you have to pay is still the big mystery, right? Because just think about it this way. We're not going to answer this question now, but just it's probably been lurking in the back of your minds. Especially if, this will depend on the answer, but especially if the makif is the one who puts up the fourth wall, why on earth should the nikaf have to pay? If the makif would have told him beforehand that, and then asked him to contribute, he wouldn't have had to contribute. Because we're talking about a case when it's a makif, according to almost everybody, we're talking about a case where there is no minhag to build a fence. So why would it be that if he asked from the beginning to build, that he would not be able to insist that he built, but once you built it, now I can force him to pay for it? Why can't he just say, take your fence and take it apart and, go down the river, wherever you go, go away. Why are you bothering me? So again, that question is really the overarching question, which is that no matter, again, we're going to define within these answers what you're paying, how much you're paying. All of these are going to be, but they're all working with the same assumption, which is that you have to pay. Why on earth do you have to pay? Right? What did the nikaf do that's obligating him to pay? In the case where the nikaf built it, then there's at least the beginning of a conversation. At least the beginnings of a conversation. But until you get to that point, which again, according to most answers here, right, like we saw at the beginning of the Gemara last time, right, Loshnam, according to Rabbi Yossi, at least, again, the simple reading where he's Loshnam, but nikaf, Loshnam, and makif, doesn't matter who's putting up the fourth wall, he's going to have to pay. Does not seem to be something that we would have intuited, and therefore we really need to try and understand why. But before we can get there, we have to look at some of the answers that the Gemara gives. So, Itmar. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, Hakol lefi ma shegadar. Chia barab Amar Hakol lefi demei kanim bezol. So the pashtus of how you read this line is right, is you're trying to figure out when you're paying for hakol, whatever you're paying, what is hakol, right? It's the fi mashagadar, or hakol is the fi demei kanim bezol. And we're defining what the kol is that you have to pay. So again, let's just get these down so that we can look back at them, because this the kasha is only rooted in understanding this machlokas. So we have Rav Huna and Chia Barab. Rav Huna says that when you're going to have to pay, again, whatever that situation you have to pay, you're going to pay Demei Kanin Bezol. Right, that was Rav Huna. Yes, thank you. Right? Rav Huna is going to say Lefi Mashagadar, which again seems to be according to whatever material the makif used. And if the makif decided he wanted to make gold fences, again, probably maybe not that, but again, Gvil Guzis, the real marble fancy walls, then that's what he's going to have to pay. And Achino Barab is going to say, Demei Kanim Bezol. Demei Kanim Bezol. So the cost of Kanim, which are reeds, and Bezol, the cheapest of those reeds. Right? So these are the two opinions. So now the Gemara, based on this, presents the following kasha. So Itmar, Rav Huna, Amar Hakol, Fimash Shegadar, Chia Barab, Amar Hakol, Vehidim, Enon Kanim Bezol. Tznan. What did the Mishnah teach us? Hamakim Schavir, Mishal, Shulchos, Abagadar, Sari, Shoyin, Eves, Eshin, Eves, Eshlishis, Ein Mechai, Ben Oso. What did the ratio of the Mishnah say? That if the Makif builds on three walls, the Nikav does not have to pay. What's the obvious diuk? Haravias mechayven also. If he puts up a fourth wall, then you are mechayev him. Why is that? Because otherwise it should have said, Rishon or Shnei Shlishis, Rivius. If it's true that as long as the Makif is putting it up, the Nikav has no responsibility at all according to Tanna Kamma, then the Mishnah should have said it. We would have been fine with it. We could explain it. But that's not what the Mishnah told us. If the Mishnah told us 1, 2, and 3 and stop there, the implication of the Mishnah is that had it been that he put up number 4, at that point, we don't know why, but he would have to pay. That's the Tanna Kamma.
But then the Seif does Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "Im Amad, the God has Rabbi Yosef. He got up and built the fourth side. Megagin Allah besakol. Then you make him pay for the whole thing." Oh. So we need to figure out what is the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosef, because the pashtus is that there is a machlokas. That's the simplest reading of the Mishnah. To come along now and say, well, they're saying the same thing in two different ways, it's not the normal way of reading a Mishnah. And that's what's bothering the Gemara now. So, Bishlama, I understand the Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, who said, Amar HaKol Lefi Masha Gadar, that you pay according to what he actually used. Hainu Di'ika Ben Tanna Kamma V'Rav Yosi. This is the difference between Tanna Kamma and Rav Yosi. Tanna Kamma Savar. Hakol lefi demei kanin bezol. Hakol, when we have hakol, it's lefi demei kanin bezol in. Umasha gadar lo. It's only according to demei kanin bezol. But Rabbi Yosi savar hakol lefi masha gadar. So again, that Rabbi Yosi is being more machmir than the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma is going to say, yes, if you put up number 4, you have to pay, but you can pay according to the demei kanin bezol, the lower rate. Because again, the machlokas in between Rav Huna and Chiya bar Rav seems to be about defining the word hakol in Rav Yosi. In Rav Yosi, so if you say like Rav Huna that it is the fima shagada, that's what Rabbi Yosi holds, then that leaves room for the Tanna Kamma to be more meiko. Not that you're not going to have to pay anything, because then the diyuk doesn't hold up. The diyuk is clear that you have to pay something. But there's a lower rate to pay, which would be the fate to make kanin bezol. But what's going to be the problem if you hold like Chiya bar Rav, which means that Rabbi Yosi is saying to make kanin bezol? So then what do you zipshat in the Tanna Kamma? Because according to Tanna Kamma, if he puts up the fourth one, you should have to pay. But if that's not true, then it should have said, Rishon Shnei Shlishis, Urivius. Doesn't say that. Let's read that in the Gemara. El L'chiyah Barab Damar Hakol, who says that Hakol means L'fei Dimei Kanin Bezol, and that's Rabbi Yosi, so might he could be Tanna Kamma with Rabbi Yosi. So then what's the machlokas between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosi? If he's not giving him to make kanin bezol, because that's what Rabbi Yosi says, so my kayoivlei. So what is he possibly giving him? And it doesn't make, you can't say that it's nothing. You can't say that it's nothing, because the diuk is that the revius are going to have to pay something. So that is the kasha. What we need to figure out is according to Chiya bar Rav, right, what is the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosi? What's the machlokas between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosi? This is the open question that we have. Good? So I think that's where we sort of left off 2 days ago. Now, just to round out, I don't think we saw this last time. The Ritva comments doo 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 doo. right. Bishlam the Rav Huna Hayne Digavin Tanakam Rav Yosi Elo the Rav Chia the Rav Chia Barab My Ben Haperish the Kasata Day the Chashta. We're assuming right now. Shelo nechleku tanakama v'Reb Yosi lo shna bein amad nikaf bein amad makif de kule ama megal ginalav v'lo shel reviyas bavad the kevin shagain nekamid de pligi ele betashlumei sacha otzaha. So again, there was one. Again, it's a fairly obvious point when you think about it, but it's just important to spell it out, right? If the diak would be that there is a distinction between whether the makif got up or the nikaf got up, then that would solve our problem. Right? If we would learn that Reb Yossi doesn't matter who gets up, but maybe the Tanakhama would say only if the Nikav got up, then we have a distinction. It wouldn't be a distinction of amount of money, but it would be we'd have a machlokas. So if it's true that the Gemara is bothered, right? If it's true that the Gemara is bothered by that there not being anything, there's no room for them to have any machlokas, and it seems to be true that they've been basically, the Gemara said that there's no difference between, at this point, right, with Reb Yossi, Bein Amad Makif, Bein Loshan Amad Makif, Loshan Amad Nikaf, then it has to be that we're assuming that that's true both in the Tanakhama and in Reb Yossi. Right? Again, it's not a huge chiddush, but sometimes spelling out the obvious is important as well. Rabbeinu Yonah makes one other interesting point. And he says, it doesn't understand. According to Rav Huna, what's the machlokas between the Tanakhama? We said the Kikud is good, everything's good according to Rav Huna. So according to Rav Huna, right, what's the machlokas? What do we say the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi? The Tanakhama holds
Jesus.
Dumei Kanim Dizol. And Rav Yossi holds Lefi Mashar Gadar. Now, we needed to come up with a distinction between them. Says Rav Yonah, I don't understand, why did we have to come up with two distinctions? Why did we have to come up with two distinctions? Right, Rav Huna holds that Rav Yossi is talking about Lefi Mashar Gadar. So, Dumei Kanim Dizol does not have to be part of his world view. Right? And when you say Dumei Kanim Dizol, you're really saying two things. You're saying Dumei Kanim, and you're saying that it's Bizol. Right? Kanim, reeds are cheaper than Avanim. So you're paying for the reeds as opposed to the rocks, and then when you're paying for the reeds, you're doing it at the lowest rate of reeds. Yeah, well, that's a third of the price we saw something in the Rishon LeZion. So, but why did we have to say that? Right? The Gemara is just trying, needs to answer that there is a distinction between them. Why does it have to be a double machlokas? Now, the Tanakhama holds you pay Dumei Kanim and Mizol, and he holds Lefi Mashar Gadar, which means you're paying the material the same and at the rate that he paid. No, it's a good question. It's a good question. So his answer is very, very important. Just in terms of trying to understand this sugi over here, when we're trying to do Mechai, money, and where are we getting this from? He says like this. Right? Lema, we could have said, the Tanakhama Savar Dumei Kanim, just to make Kanim. And Rav Yossi Savar, Kolfi Mashar Gadar, and everything would have been fine. Leave Bizol out of this. V'yesh lomar le'olam, always, man de mekel al hanikaf. The one who's going to decide to be more mekel on the nikaf. Again, the nikaf is the one who is being surrounded, the one who has not done anything. Less v'less le'ak Kolfi Mashar Gadar, svira le' demei Kanim Bizol. What he tells us is that Dumei Kanim is never going to be part of the equation. Just Dumei Kanim as well. You either have to hold Dumei Kanim Bizol, or you have to hold Lefi Mashar Gadar. Why? Why should that be? And he says a very interesting svara. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Kevin de ta'anina leila nikaf, de pachlos mi mashagadra makif havasagale. Oh. What does that mean? Same like this.
Same like this.
Why is it that the nikaf can get away with paying dumei kanim at all? Why is he not? We don't know why he has to pay anything. Right? We're not clear on that. But whatever that reason is that he has to pay something, why is he not paying the fima shagadar? I mean, if there's enough of a reason to obligate him to pay, so pay the guy for what he put up. If he doesn't, if there's no reason for him to pay, then leave him be. How do we end up in this middle category that he's paying a different amount than what was actually put up? So he says we have a concept of ta'aninan. What is the concept of ta'aninan? Ta'aninan is a concept that Beis Din will at times offer a taina on behalf of somebody. Like the Gemara elsewhere. Is it here? That ta'anina liyasme. That there's a concept for someone, for people who can't defend themselves, so we defend them. This is slightly different, but the point here is like this, is that we are saying that, we'll call it hana'ah for now, just because that seems to be the general term that we use, but it's not a precise term. If he has to pay because he's getting hana'ah, we can at least, okay, but the hana'ah, he can at least counter and say, I'm getting hana'ah, but I was never interested in a hana greater than kanim. So I can defend myself by saying, you have to drop me down, because there's no raya that I want the fancy stuff. And even if we had a discussion earlier with the Tosfei HaRosh and with the Avraham, right, that if the Nikaf puts up a fancy wall, can we then hit him up for the full cost of the wall according to everybody? Because those are Rush said, no, because even that's not a riot. Maybe I need a matching wall because I don't want to look stupid. I don't want it to look like I have three walls, one on the other. So once we are going to say that he can defend himself by saying that I want less, then we give him every defense possible. We give him every defense possible. Because the point is that, because maybe he can also say, I wouldn't have paid more than the cheapest price. So they have to go hand in hand. Meaning, once you're willing to defend and say that he doesn't have to pay full price, because he could say, I would have done it for less, but he is getting hana, so we have to make him pay something, there's no svara to say that it should just be demei kanim. Because it doesn't correspond to what was actually put up. It doesn't correspond to the expenses of the makif. So why are we making it pay? Oh, because you would have put it up. So it would have cost you something. Okay, but then I can still respond, I never would have paid full price. What Jew pays full price for anything? Right? It was pays full price. It's like as bad as paying for shipping. Nobody pays for these things. So he said, I'm not paying for it. Oh, so Dinei Kanim and Bezol are always going to go together because it's one yesod, which is that once I'm not paying you back for what you paid, that means that you're either putting the defense forward yourself, or we're doing it on your behalf. That yes, you're getting hana'ah, but unless we know that you would have gotten hana'ah, well, unless we know that you would have paid full price, then we can't make you pay anything more than the minimum amount, which would be demei kanim bezol. Okay, it's an important perspective because once we're entertaining these other possibilities of what he might have said. That there's no way to be mechayev anything more than to make kanim ubezol. Good? Oh. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. So we're satisfied with our machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi, according to Rav Huna, but the Gemara left it as a problem according to Chiya Bar Rav. So answers the Gemara, answer number one. Iba Yisema. If you want, you can say, Agar Netira Ika Benayu. The cost of a Shomer is the difference between them. Tanakama Sover, Tanakama holds, Agar Netira In. Demekanin bezolo. Rabbi Yossi saw demekanin bezolo. Okay, let's stick this up somewhere.
Still don't have your
that thing in erasing?
No, that's not fine. Oh, fine. Okay, fine. So you put it over here. So again, according to Chiyo Barav, we need to know what the machlokas is here. So here we're going to have multiple options. So option number one, Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama is going to hold what? Right? The Tira. The Shomer. Oh, straight. Just hold on to it, not get it back. He's going to hold Demeitan and Bezol. How do we know that he holds Demeitan and Bezol? Because that's the starting point for every break. For meaning, we're going to have multiple answers over here, right? We can fill in already that Rabbi Yossi is going to hold Demeitan and Bezol. That's what it has to be. Right? The Tanakam is going to be the problem because that was the kasha. What's less than Demeitan and Bezol? So the first explanation that Gemara answers. The Gemara offers is schar netira. Schar netira. Oh. Says Rashi. Yoiv lei agar netira davar muat. A little bit. Shayat sarech li ten lashomer b'kol shona k'shehi b'kav moseha. Right, so I guess what he's saying is that even to put up a cheap fence, that fence is up all the time. So it's a larger expense to put it up. How long do I really need a shomer up? I need the shomer up when my field is in, I think bloom is the wrong word, but it's laden or whatever the word is for a ripening wheat field. Right, it's it's ripe. So for however long that is, and you pay the guy $10 an hour, it's not so much that I need. So that would be less. So I'm going to claim that I can get away with that. Oh. What is the obvious problem with this? Hezekiah. Oh, yeah, say it, spell it out. The watchman can't prevent Hezekiah, but a wall does.
Oh. So we'll back up for a second. If the reason that these walls are going up is because of Hezekiah, then this isn't a valid taina. It's not a valid taina, right? How's Hezekiah being prevented by the shomer? Demeikanim dissolve, fine. You still have a barrier there, but how can this possibly be true if the walls are necessary for Hezekiah? Elamai l'chora. You would have to learn that it's not Hezekiah. Now, what are the walls about? That the walls are about keeping animals out, maybe keeping people out. Keeping animals out, similar. So the svar that the Rashbam says at the end of the that little piece of the Haggah in the Mishnah, right? Avav Mishvil Hezek Behemos. So he comes to the Sadat Sarah Lidar Gedesh Lo Asar Tvachim on the God Behemos. You need a lower fence. You don't need such a big fence, right? As long as the animals can't get over it or it stops them, that's going to be sufficient. And there are other Rishonim that learn that that's what we're talking about here. And this is not Hezekiah again, but I'm Rashi. And many of the other Rishonim, we were trying to prove that especially anybody who talks about it being a Stam Bika and gets involved with the Gina, that's all Hezekiah. And it's also very difficult to learn it as not talking about Hezekiah in terms of the flow of this mission. The mission is coming right on the heels, especially of Hezekiah. Oh. So the Meiri tries to defend the Hezekiah Shita, says the Meiri. Says the Meiri. So, Vinimtse Slamed, That's very, very correct.
Yes.
V'nimtzeis lamed l'das kulam. It's on page Gimel in the middle section if you have this version of the Kovetz. V'nimtzeis lamed l'das kulam. And again, he's coming on. I did not give you the multiple pages of Meiri on the sugya to look at all of them. He basically goes through all of the, we'll call them the primary shitos. Nimtzeis lamed l'das kulam. But he says, everybody that I have elaborated on all of the shitos, we're assuming mitzad hezekriyah mis parashas. That fundamentally what are these walls about, it's about hezekriyah. Ime hezekriyah shabanei rishus harabim, ime ikar hezekriyah shemizeh lezeh ala drachim shabayarno, right? If you're going to hold that it's the outer walls, like Tosfos was saying, and other Rishonim as well, then it's between the makif and the rishus harabim, but there is some benefit from the bnei rishus harabim now looking in from the side of the nikaf. It still has a kriya. If you hold that it's the inner one, then that's regular has a kriya. We come welcome kashali with divrei kula maushin is gagel bekan agar netir das kama. How did this end up in the gemara? It was like it rolled into the gemara. Agar netira shomer. How can that possibly be true? V'chein sh'amu perkeitz ha'regel, similarly in the Baba Kama, so you'll be disagin, you've been a tira barzuza. The person is going to say, I'm willing to pay a watchman a little bit. Mind your tira barzuza, hezekriya. If it's hezekriya, what does a shomer help? Suggests the Meiri. Mikomokam extra lefarish, shekol sheyesham shomer, ha'over misyashim v'ein nostim inayim l'sham. Wow. Suggest to me, you're going to give another answer as well, but in terms of a defense of those that want to, he does point out at the end that those that don't want to learn Hezekriah, this is going to be one of the reasons that they don't want to. It's a weakness in Hezekriah. But what is his defense? His defense is that what's Hezekriah? We're not talking about a chatzar. If we were talking about a chatzar, then presumably it's all the time, it's Dvarim Tznuim. There's no way that a shomer is going to be able to provide the necessary protection. And that's probably why the Mishnah never talked about it. However, when it comes to the bikkah, what's the concern? The concern is much more what we call ayin hara oriented, like we had in the Rashi earlier. So that requires somebody stopping and staring, whatever. You see there's a guy sitting there and yelling, whatever, you're not going to stop. You're just going to walk right past. So even though you could see, you're not going to gaze in the way that you would otherwise, and therefore, even if you hold that it's hezekriya, you are still able to, you're still able to taina that it would be agar netira. Good? Oh. So again, but we understand that the sheet, this is going to be one of the supports for any sheet that does not want to learn it as being hezekriya. It is it's a weaker argument, but again, it is one that the Meiri says, because again, there are plenty of opinions in Rishon that are clear, that are talking about Hezekriah. So that was answer number one. Answer number two, says the Gemara, V'yiba yisema, Rishona shniya ushlishis ika beinayim. The first three walls are the difference. Tanakama savar, reviyesu diyahivlei, our Rishona shniya ushlishis lo yahivlei. Rav Yosi Savar Rishona Shniu Shlishis Nami Yahivlei. Wow. What does this mean? Tanakama Savar Rashi Tivmei Revis Yahivlei. For the fourth wall, you have to pay Im Gadra Makif. If the makif puts it up, avodemei harishonos lo yahivlei shekfar yotzem hem zakai bebezdin shehayu sham yomim rabim v'lo ho'ilu lo v'im gadra nikaf l'revius lo yahivlei midi tepirashnu shekfar yotzem bezdin mehem. Okay. What just happened? What just happened?
Says the Gemara, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi both hold to make Tanim Bezol. Right? They both hold to make Tanim Bezol. The Machlokas, though, is right, Lo Tzarech Mishalem Avor Gimel Rishonos. Right, you do not have to pay part of the Kama for the first three walls. According to in the fourth wall, you're paying to make Tanim Bezol. Right, according to Rabbi Yossi,
only the Mach.
Only if the Mach. That's good. We'll get that in a second. But if they according to Rabbi Yossi, you're paid to make Tanim Bezol, right? Hakol Dalad Rukos. On all four. Only if the Makif does it. Why? Why only if the Makif did it? Why not the Nikaf? Isn't it more of a reason to pay if the Nikaf puts it up? Again, that's only in the Tanakama. Right? The Tanakama. So I don't think Rashi's telling us anything fancy here. I think he's just pointing out a fact. If the Makif puts it up, so now the Makif is out for walls, meaning the wall's $1,000, he's out $4,000. If the Nikaf puts it up, and each wall is $1,000, so the Nikaf is out $1,000 because he paid for the wall. Does he have to pay for any of the first three? No. So, meaning, there's no halachic question to talk about. You start reading Rashi, like, why is he talking about the Makif? Because there's only a question of how much you have to pay if you hold. Right? If you hold, you're only going to have to pay for the fourth wall. So then there's only a halachic question, if somebody else paid for it, how much do I have to pay back? If the Nikah paid for it, as far as we know, right, nobody's suggesting he can go back to the Makif and get half of his money. Right? So practically speaking, there's no shaila according to the Tanakama unless the Makif put it up. Because if the Nikaf put it up, he already paid for it. Got the deal? So again, so it's true, but it's a tangential point. It's not a fundamental point, I don't think. Unless you're at a different point. But what's this? Their argument is very fundamental. So what's the machlokas now between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? Why would the Tanakama only require paying Manoshach? I'm not getting Hanah just from the fourth wall. If you're saying that whatever Hanah I'm getting, somehow I have to pay for that. So I'm getting Hanah from being surrounded on four walls, not just from the fourth wall. So Rabbi Yossi makes a lot of sense. So yes, I can pay the lower rate because I have this time that I would have done it for cheaper. But once you're saying that I have to pay, why on earth do I not have to pay for the first three like the Tanakama? So Rashi tells us what the reason is. And he brings in a brand new svar that's really doesn't seem to be fundamentally related to our sugya, but again, it's the pshat in our sugya. What did he say? Shekvar yotza mehem zakai bebezdin. You already were patterned by Bezdin on the first three. Meaning, as long as we were dealing with the situation, as long as we were dealing with a situation when he's on the three sides and he puts up the fence, and this side is completely open, and we go to the Bezdin, and then Makif is saying to Nikaf, you gotta pay me. I put up three walls because of you, because you're here. And then Nikaf can say, no way. And how's the Bezdin going to paskin? If we're in a place which is, again, there's no minhag to put up a wall, the Bezdin is going to paskin, you don't have to pay. So says Rashi, according to Tanakama, these three walls are oisk paskins. There's already a psak din on them. I've already patterned. So now when you come with the fourth wall,
the only question that's still in front of Beis Din is the fourth wall.
Oh, so now the fourth wall, hey, you have to pay.
I'm only getting hanah from the fourth wall because of the other three. You're right! But it's a technicality. There's no, what do I call it, double jeopardy. Wait, we're not going to go back and re-ask the question on the other three walls. We've already passed that you're punter. And therefore, you don't have to go back. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold?
Rabbi Yossi Lechara holds that you would go back and revisit that question.
So the Nakudas HaMachlokas doesn't impact our sugya, but it's not rooted in our sugya. It's really a question of once Beis Din had to pass in on the situation, and now a new fact comes which changes the initial question. Right? It's not revisiting it because nothing new, where you're saying like, oh, maybe you have a different decision now. Like people come back to the rabbi, ask the same question again, hoping he's going to forget and answer the question. No, it's not one of those. The fact now changed. Being surrounded by four walls is very different than surrounded by three walls. If this would have been if it would have been four walls from the beginning, the Beis Din would have passed and they have to pay. Does the Beis Din go back and revisit it or not? It's a question in Hilchos Dayanim. In Hilchos Beis Din. It's actually in Machlokas, the Gemara Yevamos, and other places. It's called Kam Dina or Hadar Dina. Does the Din stand or can the Din be reversed? And that seems to be the machlokas over here. Now, that seems to be the machlokas over here. Now, Rashi throws in a line that's unclear what he wants from us. Which line is that? Shehayu sham yomim rabim. Filohu ilulu. It was there already for a long time. And if not, and if it wasn't there for a long time, then what? Then if Kfar Yotza Zaka be Beis Din, if the Beis Din passed him, but it wasn't there for a long time, then you don't have to, now you can go back?
Maybe establishing a timeline sense that there are two separate projects, so I can't like argue that like I got the first three and it's obviously always been the fourth.
Maybe, but again, if it's a shaila, if it's a question in the halachos of the psak of Beis Din, so it shouldn't just be a question, did I go to Beis Din, did I not go to Beis Din? So Rabbeinu Yonah here understands that Rashi is talking about what we just suggested, right? This question... Right, Rashi's al pirish the time of the Tanakam, Mahova Yotzin Bezin Zakai Allah Shalosh, the Fish Lohaya Nana Nika Bemishamad Bidina Layam, Kemisha Parasu Rabbias, the time of the trial on the first three walls, Hitaka wasn't getting any hana from them. Hilko Shuvim Mikhaivin also, therefore you can't be Mikhaiv Afo Bisha Godas Arabius to Basov, even though in the end he fenced in the fourth. Vinim Tsavsar Zenikab Nenimar, Samir Biosi Savar Hadar Dina, he holds that you can't go back. Right, the reason was because, and now it's not true anymore. Now it is Nana. Tosos asks a kasha on Rashi. We're not going to look for the moment that Tosos is pshat in the suga. Let's look at Tosos as kasha. The end of the Tosos Shnei Shlishis. The Haggah, Uktsas Kasha. Right, he's working off. He just looked two lines ahead. That Ubekuntras Pirish Bishak Far Yatsim and Ashoshim Beis Din Zakai, which is an accurate portrayal of Rashi. Again, he doesn't have this Yomim Rabim line, but it's an accurate portrayal of Rashi. So Uktsas Kasha, I have a little bit of a problem. Okay, it's better than Atema, but it's a little bit of a problem. De'im ken gam berevius yotza zakai at tevach acharon. If it's true, then even on the fourth wall, he should only have to pay for the last tevach.
What's Tosus's kasha? What's Tosus's ksas kasha?
The nikaf is getting anything into a full wall of
milk. Oh, very good. The nikaf is not getting anything as long as it is slightly open, not fully enclosed. He isn't getting anything. He isn't getting anything. So why does he even have to pay for the fourth wall? Only the last tefach. Why pick the tefach? We'll just assume that's the smallest measurement that they would possibly use. Only the last tefach actually helped. So it should be like Yotza Zakan Yevizdin on the rest of the wall. Did he go to Beis Din? Or did he not go to Beis Din? Meaning, right, meaning, right, Tosfos, I think, and this way I didn't, again, I'm not 100% sure. Again, the simple answer to Tosfos' kasha was like, he probably didn't go to, you're right, in a Hanami. If he went to Beis Din while they were in the middle of building the wall, so then there's a Psaka Beis Din. But the chances that he went to Beis Din as they were building the wall for the last time, it's not so mistaber. So Tosfos is smart enough to figure that out. It almost seems, and again, that might be a little bit of a radical suggestion, but it almost seems that maybe you don't need an actual Psak of Beis Din. Maybe you don't need the actual Psak of Beis Din. Maybe the fact that I was in this situation, and that is the reality that Beis Din would have paskined, is enough that I wasn't obligated for these. And therefore Tosfos says, okay, but if it's not based on an actual psak, it's just based on, okay, at what point were you not even putting for it, so until you get to the very end, it would still be a problem. So how would Rashi respond to that? Oh, maybe that's why Rashi throws in that line of Shehu Yisham Yomim Rabin. Meaning whatever this, so they call it an umdana, whatever this perspective that, okay, these three walls aren't part of the equation anymore, it has to be that at some point it paused, it was like this, and I didn't get Hana'a. And then if I would have, but as long as they're still building the wall and it's not Yomim Rabin, it's not a long time, they have to put up another row of bricks, they're coming back tomorrow, it's not as if there was a psak on that already. It's part of the building process. So if that's the case, that would Rashi's defense would be that line. And that's why that line is significant, because otherwise it's very difficult to understand why you need that line. Who cares if Hayyushim Yom Rabin? It should all depend simply on whether you went to Beis Din or not. If I went to Beis Din, they paskin, even if it was just this week, okay, so maybe the Beis Din will take that back and they won't paskin because of that. But if it's based, and again, I understand the weakness of what I'm saying, is that again, it sounds like this salaf of kam dina or hadar dina should reflect an actual hanhaga, how we're acting towards Beis Din. But again, otherwise I find Tosfos' kasha very difficult. Maybe that's why it's only a ksas kasha. But even a ksas kasha of Tosfos needs to be understood. And it helps, because then I think we understand better Rashi of what was this line of Yomim Rabim. Good? Okay. Now it seems to be that we can only be Mechayiv here to pay what we know he would have been willing to pay. And it's clear that anyone would be happy to pay for... Oh, sorry, that's Tosfos' pshat. Jump the gun here. So now, fine. So I think we're again, it's a little bit of a chiddush in Rashi. I completely recognize the weakness in it, but I think there is a little bit of a strength to it as well, in terms of understanding. I think it strengthens Tosfos' kasha, and it strengthens at the same time Rashi's ability to answer based on what he says. So how does Tosfos learn this? This is the reason. There is no person. Why do I not have to pay for the third? Because there's nobody who wouldn't be happy to contribute to the fourth. If I know that based on paying, meaning I'm paying An eighth? An eighth, right? I think, no. Yeah, an eighth. I'm paying for an eighth of these four walls that are of a full fence around them. That's not a lot. Who wouldn't pay for that? What's he saying? So, and therefore? Oh.
He would have been, he only wanted the benefit because it already came into opportunity versus the opportunity never came, would never have done in the first place.
That's what Tosfos seems to be saying. But how do we explain that? How do we make sense out of that?
Why does that make sense?
What's being mechayev him to pay? Meaning, if I, but I'm getting the benefit of all four, so I shouldn't have to pay for all four. Why do I not have to pay for the three?
It's the benefit of what you would pay. So it's like, if that, like, I would only pay for cheap reads, I would only have paid for the fourth wall.
And therefore?
Therefore, my chiyuv is based on what I'm willing to pay.
Okay, so right. I think
the work is not willing to pay off the hook.
Oh. Right. So I think what's clear. I think what?
A general person.
Right. So I think what all three of you are saying, we just try to put it together, is that we sometimes have to determine halacha based on certain on umdenos of chazak of how things would normally happen. And what Tosos seems to be saying is that we are confident. Again, I think you have to say this carefully. We are confident that people are happy to pay when they know that they are getting a deal, by paying for an eighth of the wall that they're going to get all the benefit of all of that.
Okay, so why is it an eighth?
Oh, because he's going to be paying for half of one. I think that didn't happen, right? There are two halves in each of the walls that they potentially could have paid for. Meaning, right, we want to say that each guy should pay for half. So if there are four, right, an eighth of the total, I think that's right. I was trying to, my daughter asked me last night to do geometry proofs with her. I was like, that is the most useless piece of math that exists. I don't know why we ever learned it, and I don't remember a thing about it. And then we tried, my wife sent out a group of like 70 seniors, if anybody could, not one person was able to help. I don't know why that math is taught. But okay. This I think I was able to do. So I think it's an eighth of the wall. So there's an umdana. And again, I think it's just important to conceptually understand what Tosfos is saying. What Tosfos is saying is this. Is hana, how much hana did you get? You got hana from all this. But you didn't put it up. Right? If the makif put it up, so how much can we assume that, how much money can we get out of you? So Tosfos is saying we can only get out of you what it is known that you certainly would be willing to pay. So in terms of half of one wall or an eighth of the four walls, that we have an umdana, that we have, we don't call it an anansad, that we have a chazaka that everybody would be willing to pay that. Therefore, you're going to, if the market then says, okay, but you're getting so much more benefit, our response to him is, you may be right. But in order to be motzi mamon from somebody else, you need a raya. We have no proof that he would have spent any more than that. But what that does mean is that it's basically the equivalent of having proof. The fact that nobody associates, ein l'chahada, there is no normal person who would not be willing to put out an eighth of the money in order to get this full benefit, that is enough for us to actually be motzi mamon.
Yeah, you have said that there's no normal person who wouldn't pay a fourth of the walls. So why can't we make the nikah pay for the whole wall? He said an eighth, but he could have said a fourth. Like, I mean, he came up with a lot on his own. There's no actual concrete thing to base it on.
Well,
he said most people would definitely be willing to pay an eighth, but most people also be willing to pay a fourth for something that they get times four benefit for.
I think the point is, again, I think you're right. You're right that there is no raya that we got specific. Again, it's not Tosfos, it's Kasha and Gemara, right? But I think his response is going to be, again, I think maybe this is where using the eighth and the fourth wasn't maybe the best way of looking at it, is that when you're in a situation, because it's not how Tosfos says it, right?
I think we just need to, so let's go back to the classic way of looking at it. When you have the three walls, when you have the three walls up, it's of zero benefit to me. Not zero, minimal benefit to me. So at that point, I can't assume that the makif can't claim, oh, the nikah for sure would have paid for it. The point that Tosis is making is that what I for sure know is that if you have to put up one wall to close it, because they're sort of discrete units, that a person would be willing to help with that. That's why I think that's all he's saying. Is it possible more? Yes, it's possible more. But the difference between three walls and four walls, that I can see clearly. That I can see clearly. If there are only two walls up, it's not as clear. It may be true, but at that point it's only a suffix. Yeah.
If we're working on like basing having chazakas, why can't a person just say like great as most people do, but I'm not those people like?
So the answer is that you're not able to. But we do have a concept of anan sadeh, which means we are witnesses. Meaning if you're he's claiming it to get himself out of paying the money.
But he's still getting rent.
Right. So as far as we're concerned, his claim is useless. The way to look at it, I would say, is this. He can claim that. But now, the onus becomes on him to prove it. Meaning it's as if the money now belongs to the other guy, because that's what's normal. Now, if you can somehow prove that it's of zero benefit to you, maybe you can get that money back.
Well, why can't you say that, like...
But just the fact that you're standing there, like, I didn't want it. It's true. That we'll see in Rishonim, not now, but we'll... If the guy from the beginning is protests, then maybe he doesn't have to pay according to somebody showing him. Which makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry, but afterwards to come back, now the onus is on you to prove that that it is of no benefit to you and you never would have paid for it. And that's not going to be an easy thing to prove.
What about the proof to say that this is a nice luxury, but I would have never paid for it because I can't afford it? Like, I'm a struggling business.
So that's the overall question that we have to. Again, you're paying to make Hanan Bezol. So again, whatever it is, it's not a lot. Yes. We don't know yet why you ever have to pay. All this is built on the premise that you do have to pay. So that's part of, I think, the bigger question. Let's just try to finish up this answer of the Gemara. I know we're kind of out of time. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests, right, that the Tanakhama says Pater on the first three because he holds Zenana Vizelo Chaser. Zenana Vizelo Chaser, right? In the Pishu Chaser Bach. Because on the fourth one, the market is Chaser. He's losing our money. Why? Because he doesn't have a field on that side. So he has no gain. Shavinu Tzarech Ba'avush L'chaviru Sokadei Shigdur V'davazet. I just did it to benefit you. Abadamei Arishonas V'shinu Vazet Zerach Atma L'gdur B'in Amin Chavetz Chazor Zenen Avzeh L'chaser Pater and Rioso Zenen L'chaser Avzeh L'chaser Chai. Meaning, which is also interesting, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's also a different machlokas. It's just the same machlokas, the same way according to the Rabbeinu's explanation of Rashi. It's really a question of kam dina or hadar dina. Here it's a question of zenen zelo chaser yichayv or not. The Tanakhama says zenen zelo chaser is putter. So on the first three, it's lo nana. The fourth one, it is nana. So you have to pay for that one because he is chaser. Oh. The Ramban, though, wasn't able to look at it just outside. I'll just tell it to you outside if we're running out of time. The Ramban says that according to the Tanakhama, because I think this intuitively, I think we can sort of see where he's coming from, that according to the Tanakhama, by building only three and stopping, maybe similar to that Yomim Rabim, he showed that he's not looking to finish. And he wasn't being Mahana the Nikaf, and that implies almost a Mechila. That I know you're going to get some benefit for it. If I wanted to hit you up for that benefit, I would have done all of them, and that's why I can't go back. What would Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi would say, that was all fine as long as I wasn't mahana you. But once I was, then maybe I couldn't afford it at the time. Whatever the reason is, and we would look back retroactively. So again, there are so many different mahalchim, because it seems to be it's a very difficult answer. So Blina, there on, I'll send out something for the parsha because we lost out on our parsha time. But on Sunday, maybe on Zoom, I'm not sure. I have to figure out a few things that I am juggling on Sunday. I'll let you know.
But on Sunday, we'll look at the third and fourth answer, which aren't really a third and fourth answer. It seems to be two different girsos in the Gemara. Rashi has one girsa going to the other Gemara. And then try to look a little bit at the overall question of why on earth do I have to pay anything, or why can't I just tell you, take your fence and go away. And then we'll move on to Runya on Hey Amrav. Have a good Shabbos.